الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. قال جل وعلا: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه وأعد لهم جنات تجري تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها أبدا ذلك الفوز العظيم. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة ومثلهم في الإنجيل كزرع أخرج شطأه فآزره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجر عظيمة. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا ومغانم كثيرة يأخذونها وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: خير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا تصبوا أصحابي فلو أن أحدكم أنفق مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحدهم ولا نصيفه. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: أصحابك النجوم بأيهم اقتديتم اهتديتم، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. My respected brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Before our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received prophethood, there lived a people in the same region who did not know what humanity was, who did not know what morality was. They had deviated from the Sirat-e-Mustaqim, the straight path, and they had left the teachings of the prophets. Let these people relate to you and I what they did in the days of ignorance, in the days of Jahiliyyah. Abu Raja radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports: قلنا في الجاهلية إذا أصبنا حجرا حسنا عبدنا. That in the days of ignorance, if we found a good stone, we would take this stone and we would begin to worship this stone. وإن لم نصب حجرا جمعنا كثبة من رمد. If we did not find a good stone or any stone, we would gather sand. And we would make a small sand hill. And we would bring a she camel which gave a lot of milk. فَنَحْلِبُهَا عَلَى الْكُسْبَةِ حَتَّى نَرْوِيَهَا. And we would directly milk it above the sand hill, so that the milk penetrates and seeps into the sand. ثُمَّ نَعْبُدُ تِلْكَ الْكُسْبَةِ مَا أَقَمْنَا بِذَلِكَ الْمَكَانِ. Then we would worship that sand hill till we remained in that place. And Mujahid حدثني مولاي أن أهله بعثوا معه بقدح فيه زبد ولبن إلى آلهتهم. The narrator says that one day his family sent him with butter and milk to take to their idols for their gods. فمنعني أن آكل الزبد فما منعني أن آكل الزبد إلا لمخافته. He says, I very much desired to eat the butter and drink the milk. But the only thing that prevented me from eating the butter and drinking the milk was the fear of the idols that the gods, Isaf and Nahila, will become angry with me. I placed the butter and milk in front of the idols. Meanwhile, فَجَاءَ كَلْبٌ a dog came. فَأَكَلَ الزُبَدْ the butter وَشَرِبَ اللَّبَنْ drank the milk. ثُمَّ بَالَ عَلَى الصَّنَفْ and urinated over the god and walked off. When the believers migrated to Abyssinia, the spokesman was Hazrat Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala an. He spoke to the king regarding the days of ignorance. He said to the king, أيها الملك كنا قوما أهل جاهلية. O king, we were ignorant people and in the depths of darkness. نعبد الأصنام. We would worship idols. ونأكل الميتة. And we would eat dead meat, carrion. ونأتي الفواحش. And we would commit adultery and all types of sin. ونقطع الأرحام. And we would break relations. ونسيء الجوار. And we would do wrong to our neighbors. ويأكل القوي منا الضعيف. And the strong amongst us would eat the weak. وَنُرَبِّي الْكَلْبِ and we would take care of our dogs. وَنَقْتُلُ الْأَوْلَادِ and we would kill our own flesh and blood. When the delegation of Qays ibn Asim came to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man approached the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from amongst them and said, Ya Rasulullah, إِنَّا كُنَّا أَهْلَ جَاهِلِيَّةٍ وَعِبَادَةَ أَوْثَانٍ فَكُنَّا نَقْتُلُ الْأَوْلَادِ. O Messenger of Allah, we were ignorant people and we worshipped idols and we killed our own flesh and blood. Thereafter, he related a story to the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ مَا وُلِدَتْ لَهُ بِنْتٌ إِلَّا وَعَدَهَا قَالَ كُنْتُ أَخَافُ الْآثِ. That every female child that was born to him, that every girl that his wife gave birth to, fearing shame and disgrace, he says, I took that child when he was born, and I buried every girl with my very own hand. Fearing shame and disgrace every time my wife gave birth to a little baby girl, I took that girl and I killed that girl by burying her alive. Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا رَحِمْتُ مِنْهُنَّ إِلَّا بُنَيَّ. O Messenger of Allah, when I took these children, when I took these little girls to bury, when I killed these little girls, at the time of killing these children, O Messenger of Allah, I did not sympathize with any one of them. I did not pity or feel sorry for any one of the girls that I buried alive at the time, except for one little girl. ولدتها أمها وأنا في سفر. يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, my wife gave birth to her while I was on a business trip. She gave gave birth to the child. And she gave the child to her sister, fearing that if it came to my knowledge that she has yet again given birth to a little baby girl, I will take this child and I would bury her. My brothers and sisters, his wife took the child to her sisters and told her sister to take care of this child and never inform my husband that this is my child. وَقَدِمْتُ أَنَا مِنْ سَفَرِي فَسَأَلْتُهَا أَنِ الْحَمَدِ. I returned from my journey and I asked my wife regarding the child. I asked her what she had given birth to. فَأَخْبَرَتْ أَنَّهَا وَلَدَتْ وَلَدًا مَيِّتًا. She informed me that she gave birth to a baby boy. The child was born dead and that she had buried the child. She would secretly visit the child at the sister's house. Time after time she would go to her sister's house, visit the child and return home. She never informed me that she had given birth to a little baby girl. And she never informed me that it was my child that she used to visit at her sister's house. Thus the child survived. And day by day this little baby girl grew. He says one day, the little girl, فَزَارَتْ أُمَّهَا, visited the mother. And by chance, I had returned home early from work. And the little girl was standing there. She was so beautiful that words cannot describe her beauty. She had an innocent look on her face and she was standing there. She was wearing a necklace of onyx. Her hair was combed and plaited. وَقَدْ أَعْجَبَنِي جَمَالُهَا. And her beauty amazed me. This little beautiful girl standing in my house with an innocent smile, with an innocent look on her face. On seeing this little baby girl, I asked my wife, مَنْ هَذِهِ سَبِيَا. Tell me who this little baby girl belongs to. My wife burst out into tears. And she said, هَذِهِ إِبْنَتُ. That this is your little child. This is your baby girl. She was standing there. So beautiful that words cannot describe her. An innocent look on her face. And she was my flesh and blood. Yet I could not recognize that it was my child. I felt inclined towards the child. After all, it was mine. And we kept the child. Day by day, my love for this child increased. And this child loved me very much. She became a part of my life. كانت مسرورة بدعائي إذا دعوتها. Every time I called this child by her name, she would smile. And when she smiled, the world would change for me. Every hardship I had ever encountered, every difficulty that I had ever encountered, when she smiled at me, her smile and the innocent look on her face made me forget every difficulty and every hardship I ever encountered. But deep down, I feared shame and I feared disgrace. If anybody ever found out that this was my little baby girl, he says one day, when her mother was not at home, her mother had gone out somewhere. I told the child that I'm going to take her to visit her relations. I gave her some new clothes to wear and I combed her hair and I held her by the hand and we walked hand in hand, talking, laughing, smiling on the way till we reached the jungle. When we reached the jungle, فَحَفَرْتُ لَهَا حُفْرَةً. I began to dig a hole. And the child asked, in a sweet little voice, يَا أَبَتِي مَا تَسْنَعُ. Oh Father, what are you doing? Oh Father, what are we doing in this jungle? You said we are going to visit relations. We are all alone in darkness in this jungle. Oh Father, what are you doing? Little did the child know at the time that I was digging her grave. I kept on digging, and the child kept on asking, Ya Abati ma tasna'u? Oh Father, what are you doing? When I dug the hole, I took the child and I placed the child inside the hole, and the child in her little sweet voice and an innocent look on her face, she was asking, Ya Abati, anta mughaddin alayya bihadat turab, anta tariki wahdi wa munsarifun anni. Oh Allah, that you are putting me inside this hole and you are covering me with this earth. Oh Father, we came together hand in hand and you are putting me inside this little hole and you are leaving me and you are going to return. My brothers and sisters, the child kept on asking Father for help, but little did the child know that the father was the enemy. It is the father that has dug the grave. It is the father that is covering her. The child kept on crying and screaming. I had a stone on my heart. Her little cries were ringing in my ears, but I kept on overturning the earth till I covered the hole and I could hear her sweet voice no more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried so much that the beard of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became wet due to the amount of tears that came out of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's eyes. This was the situation and state of these people before Islam. Then came Islam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam call the very same people to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is no God worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called these very people to Iman. Though hesitant at the beginning, they came one by one and embraced the new religion. And on seeing our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the state of Iman and dying in the state of Iman, they became the Sahaba and they became the companions of Muhammad Arabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One glimpse of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took him from the depths of darkness to the highest status that can be reached by man after the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Time passed and verses of the Quran began to be revealed praising these very people. The Quran said, Surah Tawbah, وَالصَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُحَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ, those the first from amongst the Muhajirin and Ansar, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, and those who followed them in doing all good deeds, رَضِيَ اللَّهُ أَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا أَنْهُ, Allah is pleased with them and they with Allah. وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْحَارِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, Allah has prepared gardens for these people under which rivers flow. Yet again the Quran says, this time in Surah Al-Fath, مُحَمَّدُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ, and those with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are strong against the unbelievers and they are compassionate among themselves. تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا, you will see him in the state of ruku, you will see him in the state of sajda, prostration and bowing down. يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانًا, seeking Allah's grace and pleasure. سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وَجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ, on their faces are their marks, being the traces of prostration. إِلَى أَنْ قَالَ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْهُمْ مَغْفِرَةٌ وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا, Allah has promised the believers from amongst them and those who do good deeds forgiveness and a great reward. Yet again in Surah Al-Fath, the Quran says, لَكَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ أَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that Allah was indeed pleased with the believers, إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ, when they were making bayah with you, تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ, under the tree, فَعَلِمَ مَا فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ, he knew what was inside their hearts, فَأَنزَلَ السَّكِينَةَ عَلَيْهِمْ, thus he sent down tranquility, وَأَثَابَهُمْ فَتْحًا كَرِيبًا, and he gave them a near victory. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he himself began to praise these very people. خير أمتي كرني, he said, the best people are the people of my time. لا تمص النار مسلما رآني. The fire of hell will never touch that person who has seen me. لا تسبوا أصحابي. Oh believers, do not rebuke my companions. Do not say anything bad about my companions. فلو أن أحدكم أنفك مثل أحد ذهبا ما بلغ مد أحد ولا نسيفا. If one of you spent as much gold as Mount Uhud in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will not reach one mud or half a mud of what they spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will never reach their reward. What is impossible today, what has become impossible today, was only normal for them, was only natural and nothing special. Listen very carefully to these examples. لما فتح عمرو بن العاص مصر أتى أهلها إليه هنا دخل أبونا من أشهر العجم. When Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu conquered Misr, conquered Egypt, the Egyptians came to Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu during the month in which their language was called Buna, and they said, أيها الأمير إن لنيلنا هذا سنة لا يجري إلا بها. O Amir, there is a special custom for the river Nile. The river Nile only flows with this custom. No water remains in the river Nile without offering this sacrifice. إذا كان لثنتي أشر ليلة تخلو من هذا الشهر أمدنا إلى جارية بكر بين أبويها فأرضينا أبويها وجعلنا عليها شيئا من الحلي والثياب أفضل ما يكون. Oh Amir, when the 12th night of this month passes, we go in search of a virgin girl who happens to be the only child of her father. We make her parents agree to this sacrifice. We adorn this girl as far as possible with ornaments and elegant attire. Then we sacrifice this girl by throwing it inside the river Nile. Hazrat Amr ibn al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to the people, says to the Egyptians, O Egyptians, inna haza la yakunu fil Islam, inna al-Islam yahdimu ma qabla. This is not permissible in Islam. Islam does not allow you to take the life of an innocent girl. Islam demolishes all the customs which were current before it. My brothers, it so happened by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that year that the Egyptians waited for 3 months. They waited for the month of Buna. They waited for the month of Abib. They waited for the month of Misri. And by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there was not a drop of water in the river Nile. The river Nile stopped flowing. The river Nile dried out. Amr ibn al-As, seeing that the river Nile has dried out, he writes a letter to the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithfuls, Umar ibn al-Khattab. O Umar, the Egyptians came to me and they said to me that the river Nile only flows by offering a child in sacrifice. The river Nile has dried out. I said to the people that this is not permissible in Islam. Islam does not permit you to take the life of an innocent girl. My brothers and sisters, Umar ibn al-Khattab, the commander of the faithful, writes back to Amr ibn al-As, قَدْ أَصَبْتَ إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ يَحْدِمُ مَا قَبْلَ. O Amr, you were right to say to the people that Islam does not permit to take the life of an innocent girl. You were right to say to the people that Islam demolishes all the customs which were current before it. I am writing a letter. When this letter reaches you, O Amr ibn al-As, cast this letter into the river Nile. My brothers and sisters, the very same person, Umar ibn al-Khattab, before Islam, he walks towards the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His intentions are to put an end to Islam. His intentions are to put an end to the Prophet of Islam. His intentions are to kill the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After Islam, he is the first in history to write a letter to the Nile. When the letter reaches Amr ibn al-As, he opens the letter. What does he see? It is written, من Abdullah, Umar Amir al-Mu'mineen, ila Nili Ahli Misr. It is from Abdullah, the servant of Allah, Umar ibn al-Khattab, the commander of the faithful, to the river Nile of the Egyptians. أما بعد فإنك تجري من قبلك فلا تجري وإن كان الواحد القهار يجريك فنسأل الله الواحد القهار أن يجريك. It has come to the knowledge of Umar, O River Nile, that you have stopped flowing. O River Nile, if you flowed on your own accord, if you flowed on your own will, then we ask you, O River Nile, not to flow any longer. But if it was the one Allah, the one mighty in wrath, O River Nile, on whose will and accord that you flowed, فنسأل الله الواحد القهار أن يجريك, then we beg that when Allah do a mighty imraq to start you, my brothers and sisters, Amr ibn al-As, when he reaches this, when the letter reaches him, one day before they offer this child in sacrifice, as Amr ibn al-As cast this letter inside the river Nile. The Egyptians are on the verge of leaving because their livelihood depends on the river Nile. When the Egyptians wake up next morning, the hadith says, وَقَدْ أَجْرَهُ اللَّهُ سِتَّةَ أَشْرَ زِرَاءً, the river Nile has flowed 16 cubits high in one night from the day the letter of Umar reached the river Nile. To this day, history testifies that the river Nile has never dried out. Never. These are the very people, before Islam, they are intent to put an end to Islam, and after Islam, the rivers are obedient to. Listen very carefully. Hazrat Safina radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, ركبت في البحر فانكسرت سفيرتنا فلم نعرف الطريق. That we were on a voyage, our boat broke, we did not know where we were unaware of the route. To add to our problem, فإذا أنا بالأسد قد أرد لنا, all of a sudden a lion has appeared from nowhere. The lion is roaring. The signs are that this lion is starving. The lion has not eaten for days. My brothers and sisters, فتأخر أصحابي, my companions, on seeing this lion, begin to run. فدنوتوا منه براي سفينة, begin to walk towards the lion. My companions, seeing that I am not running, they begin to shout, O Safina, what are you doing? O Safina, do not walk towards the lion. The lion is hungry. O Safina, can you not see that the lion will kill you? The lion will eat your every limb. But my brothers and sisters, as Safina radiallahu ta'ala anhu walks towards the lion, as he knows it is not the creation that one should fear, it is the creator that one should fear. And when one fears the creation cannot harm it. When one fears the lord of the lion cannot harm it. He walks towards the lion. The hadith says, فَأَقْبَلَ إِلَيَّ يُرِيدُنِي, the lion on seeing prey, the lion on seeing meat, rushes towards me. His intentions are to rip the flesh of Hazrat Safina radiallahu ta'ala an, and to eat his every limb. Safina, on seeing the lion rushing towards him, says to the lion, أَنَا مَوْلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَمْ أَنَا سَفِينَةُ صَاحِبَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. O lion, I know you are the king of this jungle, but I am Safina, I am the king of all jungles, I am the messenger, I am the slave of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The very same lion that was coming to rushing towards him on hearing these words of Safina radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my brother, it freezes and it hides his head in shame. The hadith says, فَأَقْمَلَ الْأَسَدْ إِلَيَّ يُبَسْبِسُ حَتَّى قَامَ إِلَى جَمْبِهِ, the very same lion walks slowly wagging its tail and it stands beside Safina radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then the very same lion walked in front of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in and put him on the right track. The lions would become obedient and the lions would be afraid of them, not they afraid of the lions. As Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports, that Allah ibn al-Hadrimi said to the believers, اذهبوا بنا إلى دارين لنغزو من بها من الأعداء. O believers, let us go to دارين and let us fight the kuffar that are there. The believers say لبيك, they immediately prepare to go to دارين to fight with the kuffar. My brothers and sisters, the believers follow Hazrat Ala ibn al-Hadrimi radiallahu ta'ala an. The believers reach the seashore to board the boat. Go to the believers see, فراء أن الشكا بعيدا لا يصلون عليهم في سفن حتى يذهب أعداء الله. The distance is too far. If they board the boat, the enemy will escape. They are not able to catch the enemy in the boat. My brothers and sisters, Allah ibn al-Hazrimi, on seeing this, with his horse, he jumps inside the sea, reciting, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Hakimu Ya Kareem, Ya Ahadu Ya Samad, Ya Hayyu Ya Kayyum, Ya Zal Jalali Wal Ikram, La Ilaha Illa Ant Ya Rabbana. He orders his army to recite the same thing and jump inside the sea with their horses. They all recite, Ya Arhamar Rahimin, Ya Hakimu Ya Kareem, Ya Ahadu Ya Samad, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Zal Jalali Wal Ikram, La Ilaha Illa Anta Ya Rabbana. The sea, on hearing these words, my brothers and sisters, let them cross. They walk over sea like one walks over soft sand. This journey would have taken them one day and one night on board. But my brothers, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in get to the other side. They catch up with the kuffar. They fight with the kuffar. They overcome the kuffar. They acquire the booty and they return to their former camp in one day. The speciality of fire is that it burns, and they did not need water to put out the fire. Muawiyah ibn Harb al-Narif فبين نحن ذات يوم إذ خرجت نار بالحرة. One day, a huge fire emerged in a place called Harra. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu came rushing to Hazrat Tamim Idari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he said to Tamim, "O Tamim, kum ila hadhi nar, stand in front of the fire so that the fire does not spread." Tamim Idari radiallahu ta'ala anhu says to the commander of the faithfuls, "Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, man ana, O commander of the faithfuls, who am I to stand in front of this huge fire?" Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu keeps on telling us, Tamim Idari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, "O Tamim, stand in front of this fire." Falam Zalbi hatta kama ma'a. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu kept on telling Tamim Idari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, till Tamim Idari radiallahu ta'ala anhu went with Umar. The narrator Muawiyah ibn Harmal says, "Watabi'tuhuma," I followed Tamim and I followed the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful. Fantalaka ila an-nar, they went rushing towards the fire. Faja'ala yuhushuha bihadi hatta dakhalat ash-shab, I saw the commander of the faithful pushing this great fire with his hand till the fire entered the ravine. And Hazrat Tamim Idari radiallahu ta'ala anhu followed behind to push the fire in to the innermost part. When Khalid ibn Walid went to Hira and stayed with one of the Persian chiefs, the people said to Khalid ibn Walid, "Ihzar as-sam, la tuskikahu al-ajim." Oh Khalid, beware of the Persians, they will poison you. Khalid ibn Walid says, "Bring poison to me." He takes the poison, he places it on his tongue, and he reads, "Bismillah, khayr al-asma, rabbi al-ardi wa rabbi al-sama, al-ladhi layta yudurru ma itmi ida, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim." Bismillah, in the name of Allah, khayr al-asma, it is the best of all names, rabbi al-ardi wa rabbi al-sama, he is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, al-ladhi layta the one with whose name poison cannot affect, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most merciful and the most kind. Khalid ibn Walid reciting this is the poison, and the poison has no effect on him. The hadith says, أَنَّ رَجُلًا مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ كَانَ ذَا حَاجَةٍ فَخَرَجْ وَلَيْسَ إِنْدَ أَهْلِهِ شَيْءٌ. Once a person from amongst the Ansar was needy, he was suffering from hunger, he had not eaten for days, his family was also suffering from starvation. Thus this person, on seeing there is no food inside his house, he stares out, he goes in search of food. His wife is sitting down thinking, لَوْ حَرَّكْتُ رَحَايَا, if only I kindled my hand machine, وَجَعَلْتُ فِي تَنُّورِ سَهَفَاتٍ فَسَمِعْ جيراني صوت الرحاء ورأوا الدخان فظنوا أن عندنا طعاما وليس بنا خصاصة. Only if I start operate my hand machine and I kindle my oven with date palm boards, my neighbors will hear the sound of the machine and they will see the smoke, and my neighbors will think that we have had food to eat and we are not suffering from starvation. My brothers and sisters, she stands up and she kindles the oven and she begins to sit down and operate the hand machine. Her husband has returned. On hearing the sound of the hand machine, he asks, "What were you grinding?" She relates the story to him. My brothers and sisters, when they both enter the house, وَإِنَّ رَحَاهُمَ لَتَدُورُ وَتَصُبُّ دَقِيقًا وَفَلَمْ يَبْكَ فِي الْبَيْتِ وِيَاءٌ إِلَّا مُلْيَا. They both enter and see that the hand machine is operating by itself. And it is pouring flour, and every vessel in the house is full with flour. She walks towards the tanur, she walks towards the oven, and sees that it is full with bread. My brothers and sisters, the husband went to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and related the story. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, "Fama fa'alat al-raha?" Tell me, what did you do with the hand machine? He replied, "Ya Rasulullah, rafattuha, O Messenger of Allah, I lifted it and I adjusted the flour." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, "Law taraktumuha ma zalat lakum hayatukum." If you left the hand machine as it was, then it would have continued to give you flour till you remain on the surface of this earth. The abnormal, the impossible today was possible for them, and nothing special. Now that you have seen their condition before Islam, and you have seen their state and condition after Islam, the talk begins. And the question that needs to be answered is, how did they get from A to B? Why is it that the Quran time and time praises these very people? Why is it that our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam time and time praise these people? Why is it that the impossible was possible for them, and today even the possible is not possible for us? Why is it that the seas let them cross, the fire did not burn them, and they will receive food from the unseen and without meat? Why is it that they were outnumbered in nearly every battle by hundreds and thousands, yet they will return victorious. And today, we Muslims number a million, and we are ruled by the might of kuffar. The kuffar are dominating us in our land. The kuffar are telling us how to live our life. My brothers and sisters, the question is, why were they successful? And today we are a billion, and we are a failure. A complete failure. Let us look at the Quran for the answer. The Quran says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقَّةً. The Quran answers this question in two words. They were successful because they were the true believers. And thus, they rule the world. Let us take a dive into their lifestyle. And let us see how they live their lives. And let us compare it with the way we are living our lives, inshallah. We will see where we are going wrong, and we will see where we are failing. Take their sacrifice. How can one talk on the Sahaba without mentioning their sacrifice? My brothers and sisters, they sacrificed their life, their property and wealth for what they believed in. They believed it from their hearts. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. There is only one God worthy of worship, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They believed in the kalima from the bottom of their heart. And to elevate this kalima, my brothers, they sacrificed their life and property at a time when Islam stood in danger of being totally annihilated from the surface of the earth. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum said, come and take our life. As al-Shabi radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, دخل خباب بن الأرط على عمر فأجلته على متكئ. As al-Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu once came to the gathering of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He came to visit the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful. As al-Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on seeing that Khabbab has come, as al-Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu honors him, he respects him, and he makes as al-Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu sit beside him on a special plate, on a special mat. And as Umar addresses the people and says, مَا عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَهَدٌ أَحَقُّ بِهَذَا الْمَجْلِسِ مِنْ هَذَا إِلَّا رَجْلٌ وَاحِدٌ. There is nobody on the surface of the earth that is more deserving to sit on this mat. Nobody on the surface of the earth has more right to sit on this place than Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, besides one man. Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on hearing this, says, يَا أَمِيرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, tell me who this person is that is more deserving than Khabbab to sit on this mat. As Umar Allah Ta'ala anhu says to Khabbab, O Khabbab, it is Bilal. As Khabbab radiallahu ta'ala anhu replies, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, O commander of the faithful, O Umar, Ma huwa bihaqqa minni. Bilal is not more worthy than me in this respect. Bilal is not more deserving than me in this respect. Because there were people from amongst the unbelievers, there were people from amongst the kuffar through whom sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved Bilal from the punishment and torture of the other kuffar. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لِي أَحَدٌ يَمْنُعُنِي. O Umar, there was nobody from the kuffar whoever saved Khabbab from the torment and torture of the other kuffar. O Umar, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي يَوْمًا فَأَخَذُونِي فَأَوْكَدُوا لِي نَارًا ثُمَّ صَلَكُونِي فِيهَا ثُمَّ وَضَعَ رَجُلٌ عَلَى صَدْرِي فَمَتَّكَيْتُ الْأَرْضَ إِلَّا بِظَهْرِي. O Umar, I still remember the day, Khabbab still remembers the day when the kuffar got hold of Khabbab and they kindled a fire. When the fire became hot, they dragged my body over the heap of smoldering charcoal. Then one of them stood on my chest, though Khabbab is not able to stand. So that Khabbab is unable to stand, and his back keeps on burning. O Umar, فَمَتَّكَيْتُ الْأَرْضَ إِلَّا بِظَهْرِي. It was the blood and pus that came out of Khabbab's back that put out the fire, not water. Look at Bilal. كان أمية يخرجه إذا حمية الظهيرة فيطرأه على ظهره في بطحاء مكة ثم يأمر بالصخرة العظيمة فتودع على صدره. خمية would take as Bilal رضي الله تعالى عنه. He would carry him. He would carry Bilal when the heat was at his, when the sun was at its peak. The heat was at its peak in the scorching heat of Saudiya, and he would throw him on his back in the burning sun, and he would say to Bilal رضي الله تعالى عنه, لا تزال هكذا حتى تموت. أو تكفر بمحمد وتعبد اللات والعزى. أو بلاد, you will remain like this. I will keep on punishing you. I will keep on torturing you till you leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and begin to worship the idols Lat and Uzza. There would be only one word uttered بعد بلال رضي الله تعالى عنه. بلال would say, أحد, I believe in the one Allah, that is the only one Allah. I will not worship the idols Lat and Uzza. You can take the life of Bilal, but Bilal will not leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. After this, the torment would not end for Bilal. The hadith says, فَأَتَوْهُ الْوِلْدَانِ, they would tie a rope, they would place a rope around his neck. فَجَعَلُوا يَطُوفُونَ بِهِ فِي شِعَابِ مَكَّةِ, and they would give this rope to the children. The children would drug Bilal radiallahu ta'ala an, and they would drug him through the hills of Mecca. But Bilal would say, أَحَدْ أَحَدْ, you can kill Bilal, but Bilal would not leave the deen of Muhammad. Take Abu Huraira. Abu Huraira has embraced Islam. Because he has embraced Islam, nobody would give a sip of water to Abu Huraira. Nobody would give a bite to Abu Huraira to eat. The hadith is in Bukhari. Abu Huraira says, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي وَإِنِّي لَأَخِرُّ فِي مَا بَيْنَ مِنْبَرِ رَسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَهُجْرَةِ عَائِشَةَ مَخْشِيًا عَلَيْهِ فَيَجِيءُ الْجَاعِ فَيَضَعُ رِجْلُ عَلَىٰ صَدْرِهِ. He says, I can still remember the time when Abu Huraira would fall down and faint between the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's room, and the people, the passers-by would come and they would place their feet on Abu Huraira's neck, thinking, يَرَىٰ أَنَّ فِي الْجُنُونِ, thinking that Abu Huraira has become insane, thinking that Abu Huraira has become a madman, thinking that Abu Huraira has lost his head. Oh people, وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا الْجُوْ, it was not because Abu Huraira had become insane, it was not that Abu Huraira had become a madman. Ibrahim, Abu Huraira had embraced Islam. Days would pass, nobody would give Abu Huraira a sip of water to drink, a bite to eat, and it is because of this that Abu Huraira would faint down and fall between the member of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha's room. Take Zubair, he's 8 years old, he has embraced Islam, an 8-year-old child. The hadith says, when his uncle finds out, كان أم الزبير يؤلق الزبير في حسير ويدخل عليه بالنار وهو يقول لو ارجع إلى الكفر فيقول الزبير لا أكفر أبدا. An 8-year-old child embraces Islam. His uncle finds out that Zubair has embraced Islam. His uncle ties him, he rolls him in a mat and he hangs the mat along with him. He kindles the fire beneath so that the smoke enters his mat. And this 8-year-old child leaves Islam. He punishes this child in this way. He tortures this child in this way. And he says to this child, irji ila al-kufr, return to kufr, return to the deen of your forefathers, leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this 8-year-old child replies, I will never leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Death is more precious. Death, I can bear death, but I cannot leave the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is because of this sacrifice that you and I today are Muslims. It is because of this sacrifice that you and I are today Muslims. They believed in La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, and they sacrificed each and everything they possessed so the kalima, the flag of Islam, flies high in every city, every country, and every corner of the world. Let us look at the sacrifice we are making. We are making sacrifice. But it is not to elevate the Islamic religion. It is not that the kalima flies high over every house and every city, country and village in this country. My brothers and sisters, the biggest enemy of Islam today in this country are the Muslims. It is we, you and I, that are trying our utmost best to put an end to Islam in this country. When our children grow up, they will no longer remember what is Islam. Because you and I are ashamed to be Muslims. If you and I are ashamed to be Muslims, do you think our children are going to adopt the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teachings of Quran? Our flesh and blood will only follow us. Cannot be seen to have a beard. Why? What will people think of me? What will my teachers think of me? What will my friends think of me? Cannot be seen to wear the hijab in the university. My lecturers will laugh at me. My friends will laugh at me. Must use a knife and fork. Cannot eat with my fingers. Why? Because the kuffar will laugh at me. Every time we are bothered about what the kuffar will think. The very same people roam the streets naked and they are not ashamed and they behave like animals and they are not ashamed. A'azzana Allahu bil Islam. Allah has given you honor. He has given you dignity. He has given me honor and respect through Islam. Yet we are ashamed to be Muslims. The very same people, when it came to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when it came to the teachings of the Quran, they were prepared to give their lives, but they were not prepared to leave the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the kuffar thinking or for any person. Listen very carefully to these examples. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's messenger to Heraclius was Jassama ibn Musahik. Jassama ibn Musahik says that I went to Heraclius and he seated me. Jalastu falam adri ma tahti. I sat down. I did not know what I was sitting on. فَإِذَنْ تَحْتِي كُرْسِيٌ مِنْ ذَهَبٍ. I noticed that the chair I was sitting on was made out of gold. On seeing that the chair was made out of gold, I immediately stood up. Heraclius, on seeing that I have stood up, began to laugh and smile. And he says, لِمَا نَزَلْتَ عَنْ هَذَا الَّذِي أَكْرَمْنَاكَ بِهِ. O Jassama, we honored you by seating you on a chair of gold. Yet Jassama, you do not sit on this chair of gold. You have stood up. O Jassama, tell me why you have stood up. My brothers and sisters, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not there. If Jassama sits on this chair of gold, nobody will ever find out that Jassama went against the teachings of Rasulullah and sat on a chair of gold. Jassama says to the king, he says to Heraclius, إِنِّي سَمِيتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَنْهَى عَنْ مِثْلِ هَذَا. I heard the Messenger of Allah with my very own ears that he prohibited his believers from sitting on chairs of gold. The teachings of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the commands of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, are more precious to Jassama than for Jassama to adopt your ways and your lifestyle. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more precious to Jassama than for Jassama to look honorable and respectable in your eyes by sitting on a chair of gold. Ma'rur ibn Sabay says, Ra'aytu Aba Zar bin Rabada wa alayhi burdun ghalizun wa ala ghulami mithluhu. I saw Abu Zar in a place called Rabada, and Abu Zar was wearing a thick garment. His slave was wearing a garment exactly of the same material. The people see that Abu Zar is wearing one garment. His slave is wearing the other garment. They say to Abu Zar, Ya Abu Zar, لو أخذت الذي على غلامك فجعلته مع هذا فكانت حلة وكسوت غلامك ثوبا غيره. Oh Abu Zar, you are wearing one garment. Your slave is wearing the other garment. Oh Abu Zar, why don't you take this garment your slave is wearing? You wear this garment. This way you will have two garments of the same material. You will have a suit and you will look honorable and respectable in people's eyes. You can buy another garment for your slave, and you can buy another pair of clothes for your slave. He says to the people, O people, إِنِّي سَابَقْتُ رَجُلًا. Abu Zar once humiliated and insulted a slave. فَشَكَانِي إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He complained to the Messenger of Allah. The Messenger of Allah said to Abu Zar, يَا أَبَا زَرْ إِنَّكَ إِمْرٌ فِيكَ إِنَّكَ مْرَعٌ فِيكَ جَاهِلِيَّةٌ إِنَّهُمْ إِخْوَانُكُمْ فَضَّلَكُمُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. O Abu Zar, there is some ignorance still inside. Then he should give him the same food that he eats, and he should give him the same clothes that he wears. My brothers and sisters, he says the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he should give him the same clothes that he wears, are more precious to Abu Zar than for Abu Zar to wear two garments, than for Abu Zar to take the garment of his slave and wear a suit and look respectable in people's eyes. The teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are more precious to him, and Abu Zar will never take the garment of his slave and go against the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مغيرة ابن شعبة سيد خطبت جارية من الأنصار. That I once asked for a certain girl's hand in marriage from amongst the Ansar. فذكرت ذلك للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And I mentioned this to the Holy Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Messenger of Allah asked, يا مغيرة رأيتها؟ Oh مغيرة, have you seen this girl that you proposed to? He replied, no. فانظر إليها فإنه أحرى أن يؤدم بينكما. Oh Mughira, go have a look at this girl that you have proposed to. It is more appropriate that you look at the girl that you marry. My brothers and sisters, Mughira ibn Shuba radiallahu ta'ala he goes and meets her parents. He tells the parents, but the parents, the mother and father, begin to look at one another. The signs of refusal, the sign of disapproval are evident. Mughira ibn Shuba radiallahu ta'ala anhu, without saying anything, walked outside. The girl has heard that the Messenger of Allah has sent Mughira ibn Shuba. She hides behind the veil and she calls Mughira ibn Shuba. Mughira ibn Shuba, I am not too happy that you look at me. In kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amaraka an tanzur alayya fanzur. O Mughira, if it was the Messenger of Allah that has sent you, if it was the Messenger of Allah that told you to look at me, then the commands of the Messenger of Allah are the commands of Allah, and the commands of Allah are above all, then you can have a look at me. Her parents had refused, but she has heard that the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent him. The commands of the Messenger of Allah are above the commands of the rest of the creation. She says, "Oh Mughira, I'm not too keen on you looking at me, but if it's the Messenger of Allah that has sent you, then you can have a look at me." Muhammad ibn Aslam is an old man. It is reported, kana shaykhan kabiran. He was a very old man. He could barely walk. He could barely walk. He reports that once he entered Madinat al-Munawwara for some business and shopping, he finished his work and he returned home. He has just returned home. He has taken off his garment and he has remembered that the Holy Prophet said that he did not read two rakat salah in the mosque of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, he says that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi said to us, "Man habada minkum hadhihi al-qarya fala yarji anna ila ahlihi hatta yusalli rakatayn." That whoever enters this holy city, then he should not return home till he has read two rakat in my masjid. My brothers and sisters, he's had a very tiring day. He can barely walk. Madina is at a distance. Masjid al-Nabawi is at a distance. He has already been once to Madinat al-Munawwara. He is an old man. He can barely walk. But he has remembered the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has remembered the hadith of Rasulullah, and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is above all. He returns to Madinat al-Munawwara immediately. He reads the two rakat in Masjid al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he returns home. A final example. A Bedouin comes to Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, and he says to Ibn Abbas, "Oh Ibn Abbas, ma sha'nu alu Muawiyah yaskun al-ma' wal-asad, wa alu fulan yaskun al-laban, wa antum taskun al-nabis. Oh Ibn Abbas, tell me, why is it that the family of Muawiyah serve honey and water to their guests, and so and so serve milk to their guests, and you, Ibn Abbas, you serve nabis to your guests, a non-alcoholic fermented beverage prepared from malt? Oh Ibn Abbas, why do you serve nabis? Amin bukhlin bikum am haja? Is it because you are greedy? Or you are going through hard times and you are starving?" Hazrat Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma reports, "Ma bina bukhlun wala haja." It is not because I am starving, or Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is greedy. The Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came once to our house. He was on horseback. Hazrat Usama ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu was also on the same horse behind the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah asked for a drink. We offered him nabis. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took nabis. He drank it. He appreciated it. And he said to the family of Abbas, "Ahsantum haqaza fasna'u," that you have done well. Do it in the future. The favorite drink of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the beloved words and teachings of Rasulullah, he do it all the time. Ibn Abbas is not willing to sacrifice the favorite drink of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and offer milk and honey to his guests. This is how much love they had for the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No matter what anybody thought, they were not prepared to leave the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were prepared to give up their life. They were prepared to give up their wealth and property. They were prepared to sacrifice their children. But they were not prepared to leave the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the teachings of Rasulullah and the commands of the Quran for anything. And by chance, if they went against the teachings of Rasulullah, by mistake, if they went against the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then they would lock themselves inside their houses and they'd rather be dead than go against the teachings of Rasulullah. The hadith in Bukhari narrated by Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala an, he says, "And the Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam iftaqata Thabit ibn Kays." That once the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Thabit ibn Qays did not attend the assembly and the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On seeing that Thabit ibn Qays has not attended, the Messenger of Allah asks, "Where is Thabit ibn Qays? Why is he absent?" One of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum volunteered, "Ya Rasulullah, ana a'lamu laka ilma." "O Messenger of Allah, I will find out why Thabit ibn Qays has not attended the gathering and your assembly today." He goes to his house. He sees that Thabit ibn Qays is sitting inside his house. His head is on his lap and tears are flowing from his eyes. The messenger asked, Ma sha'nuk? O Thabit, tell me why you are crying. Thabit replies, Sharun, the Thabit is destroyed. Thabit is ruined. His deeds are spoiled. My brothers and sisters, the words of the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, la tarfa'u aswatakum fawqa sawti an-nabi, wa la tajharu bil qawli ka jahri ba'dikum li ba'din an tahbada a'malakum wa antum la tash'urun had bin nabil. O believers, do not raise your voice above the voice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and do not speak unto him like you speak to one another, or your deeds may be spoiled. Now Thabit ibn Qais naturally had a loud voice. My brothers and sisters, he did not speak loud to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quran was not referring to him, but this word had been revealed, and he feared that if he attends the assembly of Rasulullah, if he attends the gathering of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he speaks with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his voice naturally will be raised and it will be above the voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, fearing that he will go against the teachings of the Quran, though the Quran is not referring to him. No matter, though he loves the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he locks himself inside the house so that he does not go against the teachings of the Quran. The messenger goes back to the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and relates the story. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sends the messenger for the second time and says to him, tell him, innaka lasta min ahli an-nar, O Thabit, you are not from the people who are going to hell. Innaka min ahli al-jannah, O Thabit, you are from amongst those that are going to Jannah. Today, never mind acting upon the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not even know what the word hadith means. And many of us leave this world and enter our grave, and yet we do not even know what this word hadith means. In every gathering, in every talk, the word hadith is mentioned over a hundred times. Yet we leave this world not even knowing what the word hadith means. Never mind asking upon the Quran and the teachings of the Quran. The majority of us cannot even recite the Quran as it should be recited. We talk like kings. We behave like kings. Yet we do not even know the basics of Islam. We do not even know the difference between Alif Ba Ta and Alif Ba Ta. We do not even know the basics of Islam, and we are too proud to learn. Learn from these people. When it came to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would travel thousands of miles for just one hadith. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, بلغني عن رجل حديث سمعه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, that I was informed a certain person was relating a certain hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I, Jabir, had not heard. فَاشْتَرَيْتُ بَعِيرًا, thus I purchased a camel. ثُمَّ شَدَدْتُ رَحْلِي, and I prepared for this journey. فَصِرْتُ عَلَيْهِ شَهْرًا حَتَّى قَدِمْتُ الشَّام, and I continuously traveled day and night for 1 month till I reached Sham. When I reached Syria, I found out that this person who is relating this hadith is Abdullah ibn Unais. I go to Abdullah ibn Unais' house and I tell the doorman, tell him, Jabirun ala al-bab, it is Jabir at the door. My brothers and sisters, Jabir has just heard that somebody is relating one hadith. Especially for this one hadith, he purchases a camel, he leaves all his work, and he travels day and night for 1 month. He gets to this person's house, he does not enter his house, he is tired, he does not drink a sip of water. He says to Abdullah ibn Unais, Abdullah ibn Unais, I have heard that you are relating a certain hadith regarding Kitab. فَخَشِيْتُ أَن تَمُوتُ وَأَمُوتُ قَبْلَ أَسْمَهُ, Jabir ibn Abdullah feared that you, Abdullah ibn Unais, may pass away, or I may pass away before I am able to hear this one hadith. Abdullah ibn Unais relates this one hadith. Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, my brothers, after hearing this one hadith, turns his camel and heads back to Madinat al-Munawwara without even drinking one sip of water. Without drinking one sip of water, he returns back to Madinat al-Munawwara. And we leave the world without even knowing what the word hadith means. Without even knowing how to recite the Quran. Look at their sacrifice, my brothers. Look at their pastime. Their pastime was to envy others doing good deeds. And then trying their utmost best to surpass them. And then compare it with our pastime. The hadith can be found in Abu Dawud. It can be found in Al-Mustadrak al-Hakim. It is narrated by Umar, the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful. He says, أَمَرَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ يَوْمًا أَنْ نَتَصَدَّقْ. One day, the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us believers to give charity in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَوَافَقَ ذَلِكَ مَالٍ إِنْدِي. It was at the time of the battle of Tabuk. The kuffar had gathered their forces. The kuffar had numbered over 100,000 and they were still gathering the forces. The believers had nothing. Thus the Messenger of Allah asked the believers to donate in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so he can send an army unit to fight the kuffar. He says, By chance I had acquired some wealth from somewhere and I was very happy that I had acquired this wealth. As this Abu Bakr, al-yawma asbiqu Abu Bakr in sabaqtahu yawma. This Abu Bakr, when it came to do good deeds, he always beat Umar. He always donated more in the path of Allah. He always did more good deeds than Umar. Today Umar has acquired wealth. Today Umar will beat Abu Bakr and he will donate more in the path of Allah. Going with the idea, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an goes home. He divides his property into two equal parts. My brothers and sisters, he leaves half for the family. He carries the other half with him. The Messenger of Allah, on seeing Umar ibn al-Khattab, asked, Ya Umar, ma abqayta li ahlik. O Umar, tell me what you have brought and tell me what you have left for your family. Umar, happy, says, Ya Rasulullah, abqaytu lahum mislahu. O Messenger of Allah, I have left half for them and I have brought half with me. My brothers and sisters, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, thereafter comes with his Lord. The Messenger of Allah sees Abu Bakr with his Lord, asked, Ya Abu Bakr, ma abqayta li ahlik. O Abu Bakr, tell me what you have bought and tell me what you have left for your family. Abu Bakr replied, abqaytu lahum Allah wa Rasulah. O Messenger of Allah, I have left Allah with my family. I have left the Messenger of Allah. Everything that Abu Bakr possesses, he has bought it for the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and sisters, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, from that day I learned a lesson, and the lesson was that I will never be able to surpass Abu Bakr in doing good deeds. The hadith is in Muslim. It is narrated by Abu Huraira. He says, جَاءَ رَجُلٌ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَقَالَ إِنِّي مَجْهُودٌ. A man comes to the Messenger of Allah and he says, Ya Rasulullah, إِنِّي مَجْهُودٌ. I am hungry, I am starving. Days have passed and I have not received a bite to eat. Ya Rasulullah, I cannot bear it any longer. Bear it any longer. Hunger has put me into difficulty. The Messenger of Allah, on seeing that a poor person, a needy person has come to him, the Messenger of Allah sends, فَأَرْسَلَ إِلَىٰ بَعْضِ النِّسَاءِ. He sends a message to his wife, asking them that whatever you have inside your heart, whatever little it is, send it. There is a needy person. The wife replies, La walladhi ba'atha bilhaqi ma indi illa ma. O Messenger of Allah, I swear by the one who has sent you with truth, there is nothing inside the house. There is not a grain of rice inside the house. There is not a grain of wheat inside the house. There is only water in the house, inside the house. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a message to another wife. She sends a reply, La walladhi ba'atha bilhaqi ma indi illa ma. O Messenger of Allah, you have asked for food. There is only water in the house. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a message to each and every wife. Each and every wife gives the same reply. لَا وَالَّذِي بَعَثَ بِالْحَقِّ مَا إِنْدِي إِلَّا مَا. There is nothing besides water in the house. The wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were going through hard times. The Prophet of Allah asked the Sahaba, مَنْ يُدِيفُ هَذَا اللَّيْلَ. Who will take this person today and who will entertain him as a guest? فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنْصَارِ. One of the Ansari stands and says, أَنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Messenger of Allah, I will take your guest tonight and I will entertain him. Happy with the idea, he goes home to his family and he says, Al inda fi shay'un, I am bringing the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Is there anything inside the house? The wife replies, La, there is nothing inside the house. Illa kutu subyani, besides the little which is only sufficient for the children. He is bringing a guest of Rasulullah, yet his family is suffering from starvation. My brothers and sisters, listen to what he says. He says to his wife, he says to his wife, فَأَلِّلِيهِمْ بِشَيْءٍ. I have bought the guest of Rasulullah, and the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will eat the little that we have for our children. Give the children something to chew on. فَإِذَا أَرَادُوا الْأَشَاءَ فَنَوِّمِيهِمْ. When our flesh and blood begin to cry in the even, and they ask for food, and they ask for food, let them cry. They will cry and cry, and they will finally fall asleep. Lull them to sleep. When our guest enters, put out the light, so our guest cannot see what we have given him. So our guests cannot see that we are not eating with him. We are pretending. My brothers and sisters, it is nightfall. The guest enters. Her children begin to cry. Her flesh and blood begin to cry. And they keep on crying. She obeys her husband. The children cry and cry. And finally fall asleep. The guest enters. She puts out the light. They pretend to eat with the guest. Next day, her husband visits the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Prophet of Allah says, قَدْ أَجِبَ اللَّهُ بِثَنِيئِكُمَ بَدَيْفِكُمَ. That Allah has appreciated the way you entertained your guests last night. You let your flesh and blood go hungry. You yourselves went hungry. You gave priority to the guests of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over your children. And the Quran is revealed from the heavens. وَيُسِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِمْخَطَاطَ. They are those that give priority to others, though poverty may be their lot. This is why they were successful. When they became leaders, and the East and West accepted their rule, the keys to the world's treasure and the world and everything within it was under their feet. My brothers and sisters, they were never inclined towards the world, and the world was never inclined towards them. Listen very carefully to this example. Ahnaf ibn Qais radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports. That Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala an sent us to Iraq. We conquered Iraq and we conquered Persia. We acquired the booty and we kept it with us. And we wore some of their clothes. فَلَمَّا كَتِمْنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَرٍ. When we came to the commander of the faithful, فَعَرَضَ عَنَّ بِوَجْهِ وَجَعَلَ لَا يُكَلِّمُنَا. Umar ibn al-Khattab, the commander of the faithful, turned his face away from us and he did not speak to us. فَاشْتَدَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَىٰ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. And this frustrated the companions. We came to his son Abdullah ibn Umar and we complained the way the Amir al-Mu'mineen, the commander of the faithful, treated us. His son Abdullah ibn Umar informed us that the Amir al-Mu'mineen has seen you wearing clothes that he never saw the Messenger of Allah wore, and know the Khalif after him. We went home and changed his clothes, and we wore the clothes that he would normally see us in. And we approached Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu for the second time. On seeing us, فَقَامَ يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْنَا عَلَىٰ رَجُلٍ رَجُلٍ وَيُؤَانِقُ مِنَّا رَجُلٌ رَجُلًا. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu greets one by one with salam, and he embraces us one by one. حَتَّى كَأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَرَنَا قَبْلَ ذَلِكَ. It was like as if Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu has never seen us before this. We give him the booty, and he distributes it equally amongst us. He leaves, and the companions follow. They say aloud, مَا تَرَوْنَ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْمُهَاجِنِينَ وَالْأَنْصَارِ إِلَى زُهْدِ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ وَإِلَى حِلْيَتِهِ. O Muhajirin and Ansar, do you not see the piety of this man? Do you not see his appearance and simplicity? Allah has bestowed upon him the conquest of Kisra and Qaisar. The East and West have accepted his rule. The keys to the world's treasure are in his hands. The world and everything within it is under his feet. Yet, Arab and non-Arab delegations come to him. What do they see? فَيَرَوْنَ عَلَيَّ هَذِهِ الْجُبَّةِ وَقَدْ رَقَعَ إِثْنَيْ أَشْرَ رُقْأَةً. They see the commander of the faithful wearing a gown which has 12 patches. فَلَوْ سَأَلْتُمْ مَعَاشِرَ أَصْحَابِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَأَنْتُمُ الْكُبَرَاءُ والسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار أن يغيروا هذه الجبة بثوب لين يحاب فيه منظر. O companions, O Muhajirin Ansar, only if you request the Amir al-Mu'mineen to change this gown that he is wearing and put on a garment of soft material so that he looks awe-inspiring, and food should be brought to him every morning and every evening in a big vessel so that he can eat from it together with the Muhajirin Ansar. If you do this, it would be better. They all agreed, كي ليس لهذا القول إلا علي بن طالب. That the only person that could approach the Amir al-Mu'mineen in matters regarding this is Ali ibn Talib radiyallahu ta'ala an, or his daughter Hafsa, the beloved wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They speak to Ali. Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, who refuses. لَسْتُ بِفَاعِلٍ ذَلِكَ. I cannot approach the Amir al-Mu'mineen in matters like this. وَلَكِنْ عَلَيْكُمْ بِأَزْوَاجِ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فَإِنَّهُنَّ أُمَّهَاتِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Go to the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are the mothers of the faithful. They will take charge of the matter. And they can even press Umar ibn al-Khattab, the commander of the faithfuls, for this. Ahnaf ibn Gay says, فَسَعَلُوا عَائِشَ وَحَبْسَ. That they put the matter forward to Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha and Hazrat Hafsa radiallahu ta'ala anha. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha said, إِنِّي سَائِلَةٌ أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ ذَلِكَ. That I will take charge of the matter and I will ask the commander of the faithful. Hazrat Hafsa knew her father well. She said, مَا أُرَاهُ يَفْعَلْ وَسَيُبَيِّنُ لَكَ ذَلِكَ. I don't think that he will accept, but one thing is for certain, he will explain why he has refused. فَدَخَلَتْ عَلَى أَمِيرِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They both come to the commander of the faithful. فَقَرَّبَهُمَا وَأَدْنَاهُمَا. Hazrat Umar sees that Hazrat Hafsa and Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhum have come to visit him. He honors them and respects them and makes them sit close to him. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha says, يَا أَمِيرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَتَأْذَنُ أُكَلِّمَكَ. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, do you allow me to say something? تَكَلَّمِي يَا أُمَّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Tell me, O mother of the faithful. She says, إن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مضى لسبيله إلى جنته ورضوانه لم يريد دنيا ولم ترده. That the Messenger of Allah left this world to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the pleasure of Allah. He was never inclined towards the world and the world was never inclined towards him. وكذلك أبو بكر. Then came Abu Bakr. He ruled the world with justice and equality and fought with those who denied zakat. He followed the footsteps of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he left the world to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the pleasure of Allah. لم ترد دنيا ولم ترده. He was never inclined towards the world and the world was never inclined towards him. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, وَقَدْ فَتَحَ اللَّهُ عَلَى يَدَيْكَ كَنْزَ كِسْرَى وَكَيْسَرَ وَدَانَتْ لَكَ أَطْرَافُ الْمَشْرِكِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. O commander of the faithful, Allah has bestowed upon you the conquest of Kisra and Kaiser. The east and west have accepted your rule. The treasures of the world are in your hand. The keys to the treasure of the world are in your hand. The world and everything within it is under your feet. O Umar, Arab and non-Arab delegations come to you and they see you wearing this jubbah, this gown, which has 12 patches. O Amir al-Mu'mineen, it would be more better if you change this gown and wear a gown of soft material so that you look awe-inspiring, and a food should be brought to you every morning and every evening in a big vessel so that you can eat from it along with the Muhajirin Ansar, O commander of the faithful. If you do this, it would be much better. فَبَكَى عُمَرْ إِنْدَ ذَلِكَ بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu burst into tears. He burst into tears and he said to Aisha, سَأَلْتُكَ بِاللَّهِ هَلْ تَعْلَمِينَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُ وَسَلَّمْ شَبِعَ مِنْ خُبْزِ بُرٍ عَشْرَ أَيَّامٍ أَوْ خَمْسَ أَوْ ثَلَاثَ أَوْ جَمَأَ بَيْنَ أَشَاءٍ وَغَدَاءٍ حَتَّى لَحِكَ بِاللَّهِ. Oh Aisha, I ask you in the oath, did the Messenger of Allah ever eat wheat, bread made from wheat, for 10 days, or for 5 days, or for even 3 days? Did he ever eat 2 meals in one day? Did he melt Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? La. No, she replied. O Aisha, هل تعلمين أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قرب إليه طعام على مائدة في ارتفاع شبر من الأرض؟ Has the Messenger of Allah ever been served on a table which happened to be a span high? They replied together, اللهم نعم. By Allah, it is true. أنتما زوجتا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأمهات المؤمنين. You are the wives of Rasulullah and you are the mothers of the believers. ولكم للمؤمنين حق. And you have rights over believers. وعلي خاصة. And particularly on Umar, the commander of the faithful. ولكن أتيتما تراغباني في الدنيا وعائشة وأفزاء. You have come to attract me towards the world. وإني لعلم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لبس جبة من السوف فربما حق جلده من خشونتها. I Umar know that the messenger of Allah used to wear a coarse woolen garment, and the messenger of Allah sometimes his body would itch due to the thickness of this garment. وعائشة وأفزاء, do you both know this? هل تعلمين أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يركض على باعة على طاقة واحدة؟ وعائشة حفظة, do you know that the messenger of Allah would sleep on his robe which only had one fold? وعائشة, وكان مسحا في بيتك. There was a piece of sack inside your house which served the purpose of sitting in during the day, and it served the purpose of sleeping during the night. We would enter and we would see that this sack has left mark on the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's body. Oh Hafsa, it was you that told me that one night you spread a soft bedding for the beloved messenger of Allah, and because of this soft bedding the messenger of Allah had a sound sleep and he was unable to get up. فَلَمْ يَسْتَيْكِذْ إِلَّا بِأَذَانِ بِلَادِ. He only woke up with Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu's azan, his azan. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to you, oh Hafsa, ya Hafsa, مَاذَا سَنَاتِ مَالِي وَالدُّنْيَا. Oh Hafsa, what did you do? What am I going to do with the world? أما تعلمين أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كان مغفورا له ما تقدم من ذنبه وما تأخر؟ وهفزة, do you not know that the messenger of Allah was free from sin? أمسى جائيا, he would spend the night in starvation. ورقد ساجدا, and he would sleep in prostration. And he would do this day in, day out, every night till he met Allah سبحانه وتعالى. لا أكل عمر طيبا ولا لبس لينا. You are telling Umar to eat good food. Umar will never eat good food. You are telling Umar to put on good clothes. Umar will never wear soft clothes. فلو أسوة بصاحبي. He has two examples to follow. And this is how our leader spent his life, spent all his life till he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And where have our leaders gone? They were successful because of this. They knew it, and the enemy knew it. Listen to what the enemy says. When Heraclius was at Antioch, and he received, and his army came to him defeated, he asked them, وَيْلَكُمْ أَخْبِرُونِ عَنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمَ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. Damn you, tell me about these people that you fight. أَلَيْسُ بَشَرًا مِثْلَكُمْ. Are they not human beings like yourself? Yes, they are. أَأَنْتُمْ أَكْثَرْ أَمْ هُمْ. Are they more in number or you? They reply, بَلْ نَحْنُ أَكْثَرْ مِنْهُمْ أَضْعَافًا فِي كُلِّ مَوْتٍ. That we were always larger than them in number in every battle and in every fight. مَا لَكُمْ تَنْهَزِمُونَ. Then tell me why you come defeated. That was silence. Then one of the elders spoke. Listen very carefully to what he says. He says, they are successful and we are failing because أَنَّهُمْ يَكُومُونَ اللَّيْلِ. They stay awake during the night and pray. When it is daytime, وَيَسُومُونَ النَّهَارِ. They stay hungry and fast for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَيُوفُونَ بِالْأَهَدِ. And they keep their promises. وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. They enjoin good and forbid evil. This is why they are successful. And we are failing, مِنْ أَجْلِ أَنَّ نَشْرَبُ الْخَمَرِ. Because we drink wine. The Muslims are doing it today. وَنَزْنِي. We are failing because we commit adultery. The Muslims are doing it today. وَنَرْكَبُ الْحَرَامِ. Because we commit all types of evil and sin. The Muslims are doing it today. وَنَظْلِمْ. We oppress. The Muslims are doing it today. وَنَأْمُرْ بِالسُّخْطِ. وَنَنْهَى أَمَّا يُرْضِ اللَّهِ. And we order for those things that bring about this Allah's displeasure. And we forbid those things bring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure. This is why we are failing. And this is why they were successful. Let me finish with just one hadith. Listen very carefully to this hadith. And this will bring us to the end of our talk today. It is the battle of Qadisiyah. 3 days before this battle, the kuffar send a message that we want to meet with the Muslims. The Amir of the army is Abu Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala an. He sends Hazrat Rabi'i radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hazrat Rabi'i radiyallahu ta'ala an enters the enemy's territory. When he reaches the bridge, they stop him and they inform Rustam, the king, the Persian king, of his coming. Rustam gathers the people of Persia and he consults with the great men of Persia. Tell me, what should we do? Anubahi amnata hawan? Should we show greatness and power or should we adopt gentleness? They chose the latter. The best carpets of Persia were laid. The best beds and couches were spread. A throne of gold was set for Rustam. And every no decorative thing was spread. And everybody took their place. Hazrat Rabi'i radiallahu ta'ala anhu walks. He comes riding on his horse, which was short and lean. He's wearing an armor. He's wearing a turban. He has with him a shining sword, a bow and arrow, and a shield of cowhide, and a lance. When he reaches this carpet, remember the enemy, it is the enemy's territory. The kuffar and the army, and their armies are there. The king is there. When he reaches this carpet, they say to him, dismount. He ignores them. And he, along with his horse, walks on their carpet and causes all their chiefs to move aside. When he is on the carpet, he jumps off his horse. He takes two pillows, he rips them, and he ties his horse in between them. In the enemy's territory, the armies are watching, the king is there, and they are all gobsmacked. He walks. When he reaches the king, the courtiers say, lay down your arms. Dahsilak. He replies, listen carefully to his words. Inni lam aatikum fa adau silahi bi amrikum. Antum da'utumuni. I'm not going to lay down my arms on your bidding. It was you that have called me. And if you do not like the way that I have come, then I will return. He walks past them. Reclining on his lance, he takes short steps. And with his sharp point, he rips every carpet, every couch that they have laid. One man, and there's the entire army. He's in the territory of the kuffar. When he reaches Rustam, he does not sit on their carpet. He sits on the ground. And he thrusts his lance into his carpet. They ask, what made you do this? He replies, you do not like this decorative material. The king asks, why have you come? Only if you stood Arabic, you would appreciate the words that he has used. He says, Allahu ibta'athana. Wallahu ja'a bina. Linukhrij man sha'a. من عبادة العباد إلى عبادة الله ومن ديك الدنيا إلى سعتها ومن جور الأديان إلى عدل الإسلام. Allah has raised us and Allah has sent us to bring those who wish from the servitude of men into the service of Allah alone. From the narrowness of this world into the vastness of the hereafter. And from the tyranny of religions into the justice of Islam. This is why we have come. He says to his courtiers, ويحكم لا تنظروا إلى السياق. Damn you, don't look at his clothes. انظروا إلى الرعب. Look at his judgment. وإلى الكلام. And his power of speech. وإلى السيرة. Look at his character and habits. The courtiers are inclined on seeing his arm. He takes out his sword from his torn sheath. كأنه شعلة نار. It is like a flame of fire. The kuffar has seen this. Ihmid. Put it away, we have seen enough. He shoots an arrow at their shield and they shoot an arrow at his shield. His piece is through and theirs has no effect. And he returns. Next day, the kuffar send a courier, they send a message. Okay, we want to meet with the same man again. But this time, Sa'ad ibn Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu sends Hazrat Uzayfa ibn Mishfat. And he approaches the kuffar in exactly the same manner. When he reaches the carpet, they try him now. They say, dismount. He says, مَا جِئْتُكُمْ بِحَاجَتِي. I have not come to you because of my need. Go ask your king, أَلَهُ الْحَاجَةَ أَمْ لِي. Is the need his or is the need mine? If he says the need is mine, then your king is lying and I will return. And if he says the need is his, then Huzayfa will come the way he likes. He approaches the king and the same question is posed to him. Why have you come? He says, Allah has sent us to call the people to one of three things. Whichever they accept, قَبِلْنَا, we will agree. إِمَّا الْإِسْلَامِ, embrace Islam and we will return. إِمَّا الْجِزْيَا, pay jizya and we will protect you like we protect our own. إِمَّا الصَّيْفِ, or war. The king says, and peace for some days. Listen very carefully. He says, yes. 3 days, counting from yesterday. There's one left. And he returns. He says to his people, the king, فَجَاءَنَا الْأَوَّلْ بِالْأَمْسِ فَغَلَبَنَا عَلَىٰ أَرْضِنَا, that the first came yesterday and he dominated us. And he dominated us in our land. He walked with his horse on top of our carpet. He ripped our cushions. And we were unable to do anything. وَحَقَّرَ مَا نُعَزِّمْ, and those things that we consider great, he considered despicable. Our land and everything within it will go to these people because these people have more intellect. Can anybody do this today? Why? The Quran says, and the Quran lays down a rule, that if you act upon this verse of the Quran, then you will be able to do this today. The kuffar today are dominating the believers in their land. The Quran has told us, وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ لَيَسْتَخْلِفَنَّهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَمَا اسْتَخْلَفَ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. Believe and do good deeds, then he will grant you succession to the rulers in the earth, like he granted succession to those before them. And he will give you the power and the authority to practice the deeds and the religion that he has chosen for you, Islam. Condition, believe from your heart and do good deeds. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.